Hey, Team 22, welcome back to another episode of the HHA USA podcast. This week, Chris has an amazing conversation with Rick Young of Center Shot Blue. Let's join Chris and Rick now.
So as our scope or our mission at HHA USA has expanded beyond just the veteran community, we now are encompassing first responders and law enforcement in our mission as well. And I've just had the pleasure of meeting some great people over the last handful of years. And this gentleman is no exception. I just met him at the ATA show this January as part of Center Shot Blue. And that's an organization that we're going to continue to talk more about. You're going to hear a lot more about that in the weeks and months and years ahead. We've got a partnership we're getting ready to announce with them here this fall, and they're just doing great work. And I'm just so blessed to be able to work with them and combine our two networks. But this gentleman that I have on today, like I said, met him at the ATA show back in January. Wisconsin native. He's been in law enforcement for a long time here in the state of Wisconsin. And so great conversation coming up today. So my good buddy and brother, Rick Young, how's it going in your neck of the woods today?
Hey, it's going great. It's sunny out now. It was kind of cloudy and rainy before, but other than that, doing good.
Yeah, and at least it's not 100 degrees. It's feeling a little bit more like fall on some of these mornings when the temperatures are getting closer to 40 than 50, and I like that.
I'm definitely okay with that.
You and me both. So, I'm going to go, I guess, you know, we got introduced through Aaron Shear from Center Shot at the ATA. Was that your first ATA show?
That was. Aaron invited me and a couple other guys down there and got to experience the ATA show, which was incredible. Met a ton of awesome people, and you being one of them, and then I've met across paths a couple times since then.
Yeah, it's been I don't know where the heck the year has gone. I mean, it seems like we were just at ATA. And like you said, we crossed paths a couple more times. On Aaron's invite, I finally made the trip down to Florida, which is where we're going to have our first ever out-of-state HHA USA event. It's going to be a private event for veterans, law enforcement, first responders, and met you and some of the other Center Shot crew down there. And then you were able to make it to the Vortex event in April as well. So we saw a lot of each other in the first half of the year.
Yeah, for sure. ATA was a blast. Like I said, met a ton of people. I'm already looking forward to next year's show. And then down in Florida, being with the Center Shot crew and getting the ball rolling for what's to come down there, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of our listeners, especially archers, are familiar with the ATA show, and you know, that's kind of our Super Bowl that kicks off our year, but not as many people might be familiar with Center Shot, and particularly Center Shot Blue. So do you want to speak on that just a little bit and kind of give our listeners an idea what that is and how you came to be involved in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Center Shot is a faith-based archery group. They bring the full circle faith into archery and explain how everything ties together. And then Center Shot Blue is a branch of Center Shot devoted to law enforcement, bringing archery into our communities, maybe some of the parts of the community that don't have the opportunity or ability to partake in archery. That's kind of the design of Center Shot Blue, is to have local law enforcement bring that world to them and get them exposed to it and hopefully change some lives along the way.
Yeah, it's an awesome program. I mean, I had a decent understanding of Center Shot Blue and how that worked, but I don't think it was till I got to Florida and got to spend that morning with you and the guys down there that I really, that really opened my eyes to the impact that it was having, because for some reason I thought that it just kind of stopped at the PDs, but basically it's onboarding police officers to get involved in the sport of archery and then taking it out into the community. So, I mean, there was stories of, you know, in some of the rougher neighborhoods where the police would go into a high school or a junior high, and there, you know, there might have been that tension between law enforcement and the students. And by the time they left from training that archery program, the kids were almost hugging the cops and didn't want them to leave. And yep, that's remarkable that kind of change is happening around a bow and arrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to kind of break down some barriers and stigmas between law enforcement and certain areas, certain demographics and communities and stuff where, like I said, you might not have a good working relationship with your local law enforcement. This is a tool for us to break that down and bring in everybody together.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as we, as this partnership forms and we hit these different areas around the country where we have these events. Yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity for our veterans, law enforcement, first responders to spend a weekend together, you know, like-minded community. You experienced that, I think, at the Vortex event, and I'd like you to speak a little bit on what that weekend was like, because that really kind of was a fork in the road for us. I knew that was going to be a pretty special event, but combining that with Center Shot and now trying to essentially take that show on the road and provide that environment, you know, in four or five different spots around the country in the next couple of years really excites me.
Yeah. So when you invited me and another guy down there, I wasn't really sure what to expect as far as the whole weekend plan, but we said, you know what, let's do it. So we got a hotel room and we did the Vortex tour, which was awesome. It had some great food by Mission Barbecue. And then all the people that you had there, the different guys from all over the place that you got to meet and talk to, was a ton of fun. Then moving on to the 3D archery range, which that was awesome. The guy that I was with, that was his first time ever shooting an outdoor 3D range like that, so he had a ton of fun. I had a blast doing it. It was a great course. Again, great people all around. And then we shot some sporting clays at the local sporting clay club. I believe it was Oregon Sportsman's Club we shot at. Just continued the weekend with cool guys that have all different stories, different backgrounds, come from, you know, different walks of life, coming together around shooting sports, archery, sporting clays, what have you. And then having that concert at the ski resort with Chris Crozy was just awesome. I had a ton of fun there, listened to some great music, got a good laugh. There was an elderly couple that heard Chris Crozy was playing there, and they kind of snuck in the back door, for lack of better terms, and enjoyed the concert on their own dime, kind of uninvited, but it was still funny that they were there and just having a blast. You know, the whole weekend was a great time. I'm super excited to see what unfolds with this upcoming event going across the country with HHA USA.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had, like you said, we had people from all different walks of life, be it, you know, active duty, veterans, retired law enforcement, folks that are still active in it. And what was it about that weekend and that environment that made it so enjoyable? I mean, I can't speak to it from your chair. I just know how gratifying it was for me to be able to be a part of setting that up and just knowing that great conversations were going to happen. But what was it about having, you know, 150, 160 people that were kind of cut out of the same cloth, but all had different stories? Why was it so special for you?
The reason I think it was so special was everybody has their own story, but those kind of got set aside and we were all on a blank slate. We were able to, if you wanted to open up to a guy you just met and tell your full story, and you know, it may have ended in tears, it may have ended in a hug, who knows? It was an atmosphere where there was no pressure, there was no judgment. Everybody was having a blast, having fun together, and it didn't matter if you were flinging your arrows all over the woods or, you know, slamming perfect scores on your targets. Everybody's having fun, and it was just a great time. So everybody kind of was able to disconnect from the lives that we live, whether it be, you know, the law enforcement, the military, whatever aspect or whatever we got going on in life, we were just able to kind of disconnect and relax that weekend, which was great.
No, and that was kind of the goal starting out. I mean, you're still active, but I mean, I think that just from having other podcasts and having conversations with other guests that are out of the service, they love coming to our events because it kind of gets them back in that community maybe that they missed when they were serving. Yeah. And I think that's an opportunity that we're going to be able to provide going forward for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people that are out of it, they still hold on to whatever their service was, and they like the ability to connect with guys that are still boots on the ground, for lack of better terms, and, you know, catch up and hopefully put a smile on them, on their face, based on some of the stories that we have from day-to-day work.
Yeah, and I mean, just the feedback that I got from the attendees at it, it was not that I was looking for a pat on the back, and I'm not, but the event was so successful, and I knew driving home that night, you know, that Sunday night after the event wrapped up, it took me a while to unpack just how great it was. But it's like, man, we need to bring this to other places in the country. I can't pick Vortex up, as much as I would love to bring that place up and take it everywhere. I can't do that, but we've got some pretty cool venues picked out for the next couple of years to take this kind of an environment to. And I'm excited to see the positive life change that it's going to bring, not only in the people that attend these events, but then when they take that back to their communities and hopefully plant a center shot program in their community, it's really going to grow legs in a hurry.
Yeah, it is. I see incredible potential both for Center Shot Blue and HHA USA. I see great things happening. I've mentioned a couple times, I'm super excited about the one event that I know of that's planned coming up. But just to unite all these people through archery, it just blows my mind on where it's going to go and what the potential is for it to take off.
Yeah, I mean, I never could have dreamed, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I started as a ground volunteer for our local honor flight chapter, that it would come to this. But I mean, that, you know, ties really into our faith. You know, they say that God's plans are much bigger than ours. And when we live our lives with open hands and open hearts and open minds and just let him kind of take the wheel, he's going to take us a lot further than we could have ever possibly dreamed.
Absolutely. There's no denying that. There's no way around that. That's 100% true.
So, well, let's, I want to hear a little bit of the Rick Young story. As far as, you know, I know you were born and raised in Wisconsin, but what was life like growing up for you in Wisconsin? How did you get into the outdoors? When did that come into play? And then what got you on the path of law enforcement?
I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. Been here my entire life. My whole family's pretty much in this area. A few of them have scampered off in short distances, I guess, but I still live in Green Bay area with my wife. We got 4 kids that are stuck in tow doing whatever we do in our crazy lives, which is pretty high speed at this point. So I've been into the outdoors since I was a little kid, grew up, you know, my dad hunted and all my uncles and stuff hunted. I'm the oldest of my siblings and all of my cousins as well. So I was kind of the first one, the next generation, to get into it. So I just kind of started following dad and stepdad around, and eventually, you know, got into it myself. I started hunting, shot my first deer when I was 12, I believe. And it was bow hunting. I remember it clear as day. My dad had set me up in a stand, and I got out to the tree stand and realized that I forgot my quiver of arrows at home. So dad at that point had to give me some of his. He gave me 2 and he kept 2 and he went to a different stand. Well, lo and behold, I ended up shooting a deer, which at 12 years old, my accuracy wasn't quite to where it is today. Not too far off, but wasn't quite there. And it took more than the 2 arrows that I had to take care of this deer, we'll say. So, you know, I had to run back to the truck, get a hold of dad. This is long before cell phones. Had to get a hold of him, tell him that I was out of arrows, but the deer wasn't done yet. So then what should have been a simple thing turned into kind of a bit of an ordeal, but it's a story that I can remember, you know, to this point. And I was 12 years old when that happened. So yeah, other than that, I stuck with primarily whitetail hunting here in Wisconsin, and small game and fishing, that kind of stuff. We've got a family property just outside of Lakewood, Wisconsin, that is a multi-generational deer hunting camp. And it's a typical old school hunting camp. It's an uninsulated shed with wooden bunk beds in the back and 2 picnic tables up front. So that's what we call deer camp. And some of the best memories I have been made up at that camp, and now my kids are also a part of that camp. I've got two of my four kids that have been up there hunting with me.
That's awesome. So yeah, don't feel bad about the lack of accuracy as a youth. I was able to dispatch my first deer with two arrows. I spine shot it the first time and then got down and had to shoot it again. So my accuracy didn't improve until my late teens or early 20s. So
yeah, same here. That's exactly what I did. The first arrow was a spine shot. Second arrow I missed. And then the third one with dad basically holding my shoulder, we walked up as close as we could to it to take care of it. But yeah, my cleanliness has improved since then.
Yep, yours and mine both. And those hunting camps, I mean, we haven't had a cabin like that per se on a piece of private land, but we hunted Buffalo County in the late 80s, early 90s, and we stayed in a shed next to a bar in the town of Prague. And yeah, a lot of fun memories in those hunting camps that you'll never forget.
Yeah, it's awesome. And our camp is, for the most part, remained mostly unchanged. There's been a couple of minor upgrades to it, but still got the freestanding wood burner that if somebody doesn't wake up in the middle of the night to fill it, you don't want to be the first one out of your sleeping bag in the morning if nobody got up throughout the night, because it's chilly in there.
That is exactly the same setup that we had. And I was the youngest. I was like 12 or 13 and my brother was like 20 at the time. So I was the fire boy. So yeah. I had to learn to wear long johns to bed, but at the same time, you know, when the fire was going, it was like a sauna in there, but it could go from 80 to 50 in about 2 hours time when the fire went out.
And that's exactly how ours is. And there was a guy that he used to come to our camp. He's no longer around. But he thought it was funny to pack the wood burner as absolutely tight as he could get it. And then he would slip off to his cabin, which was right next door. He would slip off while we were peeling off as many layers as we could because we're sweating profusely sitting around the card table. But he found that to be hilarious.
Nice guy.
But, yeah. That was what he was known for, was sweating us out before he left for bed for the night.
Well, I guess if that's the worst thing that ever happened to you at hunting camp, that's pretty harmless. So.
Yep. Yep.
So did you, were you an athlete in high school at all? Play any sports?
Yeah, I played football and baseball through high school. And then just like some bar league softball type stuff after high school. Pretty much went right into school. I had my career path figured out long before I graduated high school. It kind of runs in the family. So once I graduated high school, I kind of got right after it and got to work.
So law enforcement runs in the family?
Actually, law enforcement does not. Firefighting does. Fire and EMS runs in my family. excuse me, which is what I initially went to college for. My grandpa was a volunteer firefighter. My dad was a volunteer firefighter and then became a career firefighter. I started out as a volunteer and became career. And now my little brother is also a volunteer and became career. So when I landed my first career firefighting job, it was near Green Bay here. And I knew that it was going to be a stepping stone. So when I started there, I kept my options open for the two departments that I wanted to work for. And I kind of told myself, whichever one came first, that's where I was going to land my career. And the one that came first came with, in addition to being a firefighter paramedic, it required me to become a law enforcement officer as well. So when I got hired, I got hired as a firefighter / paramedic, and then I was put through the law enforcement academy, and now I currently do all three aspects of it.
Wow, you're wearing a lot of hats.
Yep. Yeah, it's every day that I go to work, my hat gets spun around a couple times depending on which pair of boots I'm wearing.
Wow. Well, and I know just from our few interactions and then from an email that you sent me, you've obviously you love your career, you love what you do, but unfortunately, like so many folks that are in your line of work, there are some traumas that come with that and the fallout from it. So I know you're open to discussing that. So I guess I'd like to just hear a little bit about maybe a couple of those stories and how you've used archery in the outdoors to kind of combat some of those things that happen as a result of the line of work that you're in.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like you said, this line of work, you know, we're exposed to a lot of different stuff. We see a lot of stuff that people aren't necessarily meant to see. And most of us are pretty good at just kind of burying that down deep and moving on and going on with the job and doing what we have to do, realizing that that's entirely part of it. But I mean, everybody comes across struggles throughout their career, depending on what you get yourself involved with. And you know, everybody's got their own story, I guess. So it's all how you make it. You know, my career has been amazing. I've been exposed to a ton of incredible people. I've got a ton of experience and knowledge that I've gained along the way. Some experience is better than others, but you know, it's all part of the story, I guess. So, you know, it's the job. Not everything is good. There's a couple key ones that stand out to me, and the one that really kind of still to this day blows my mind, it correlates back to that hunting cabin that I was talking about. So we had a weekend planned up at the cabin. I don't remember if it was an ice fishing weekend or what it was, but I got there first and got the fire started and stuff and was just hanging out by myself in the shed. And my grandpa built that shed years ago, and he's since passed. He had passed shortly before this weekend was scheduled. And after I got the fire going, I sat down and I had a conversation with grandpa and just about everything. There was some things I was struggling with and whatnot that had kind of jaded me a little bit at work and made things not so pleasant. So I took that time and I just kind of offloaded, I guess is what I'm trying to say, some weight that I was carrying around, and just had a great conversation with grandpa, because I knew that he was watching down on me and sitting in the shed that he built. So fast forward, weekend went great. We had a great time with family and family friends and stuff. And then the next day that I went to work, I was out on patrol, and my partner and I, we were responding to an incident, just a call for service. I don't specifically remember what it was, but it wasn't anything major. And I was sitting at a green or a red traffic light, and when it turned green, I proceeded forward, but out of the left side, I caught a glimpse of a semi that was not slowing down at all. So long story short, I took that front end of that semi traveling 35, 40 miles an hour with a full load of paper on it. I took that right in the driver's door of my squad car.
Wow.
Which so that sent me spinning down the county highway that we were on. Went about 150 feet or so before I ended up down in the ditch. And I guess to make a long story semi-short, I walked away from it completely unscratched. Not a single bump, bruise, or scrape on me. All the airbags in the vehicle deployed, and I have no doubt in my mind that Grandpa was riding shotgun with me that morning after having that conversation with him up north at the cabin.
Wow.
So
you're a miracle man of sorts, and I know there's another story there, but I can't imagine looking out my window and seeing a semi coming at me 35 or 40 miles an hour. That had to be quite a shock.
It was pretty crazy. I actually remember it very vividly. I remember seeing it coming and distinctly remembered thinking to myself that I got to turn my head or he's going to knock my head off my shoulders. So I just looked forward out the windshield and I held onto the steering wheel. And I, at the very last second, I saw the front of his semi hit my door before the airbags deployed. And then I went spinning. And when I came to a stop, everything was all white. A, because of the airbags, and B, I was nose down in a ditch full of snow. So when my partner was there immediately, because he was directly behind me responding to that initial call for service, and he actually got the entire crash recorded on his dash cam of his patrol car. So the video of that, I think I sent you the link to that. If not, I will. But so he came running up to my squad car after some chaotic radio traffic. He came running up and I was able to communicate with him through the window. I said, "I'm okay. Just get me out of this car," because the driver's door was crushed in and the passenger door was wedged in the snow. So it wasn't just a quick crawl out. Well, eventually I did get out. We were able to force the driver's door open. And when I got out, the truck driver that had just hit me was the first person I saw. And I don't think he had any more space in his head for the size of his eyeballs. He was so wide-eyed, and he said something along the lines of, "I thought I killed you." And I said, "You know what? I thought you did too for a second, but you didn't. I'm good." He said, There's no way you're good. There's no way you're not hurt." I said, "I'm totally fine. Nothing hurts. I'm not bleeding. I'm good." And then he kind of fell apart at that point. And I remember grabbing hold of him and walking with him out of that ditch and just saying, "Hey, I'm all right. We're good. I'm here. Don't worry about the car. I'm good. You're good. That's all that matters." And then he kind of broke down pretty hard at that point. But yeah, we just got through that, and you know, I stayed at work that day, much to my wife's disliking. I stayed at work and completed my 24-hour shift and actually went back out on patrol later that day.
You didn't even go and get checked out? I mean, there had to be an ambulance that responded or something, I would think.
Nope. So I heard all the radio traffic going on and the amount of resources that had been dispatched, the fire engines, the ambulance and everything like that. And I got on the radio and I said, "I'm okay. You can cancel everybody. I didn't need any help." I shouldn't say I didn't need any help. I wasn't injured. I didn't need medical services, nothing like that. So then I never went in and got checked out. I stayed at work and still hear about it to this day, how that was not spouse approved to stay at work that day.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, I think I might have gotten a workout in that afternoon and stayed loosened up and stuff. And just, I went back on patrol that later that night and finished out my shift. And even That's the days crazy. Following, I a little stiffness and tightness, but, you know, nothing, no injuries at all.
Man. And where at that point in your life, where were you at in your faith journey?
So I've always had my faith and my beliefs, but maybe not as strong. That incident, especially after having that conversation with my grandpa just, 2 days prior to the crash, having that conversation with him, and then me walking away from that crash unscathed, just rocketed my belief and my faith from that point. I knew that there was something else. There was somebody had an upper hand in that whole situation. So, you know, I kept building myself, building my faith at that time. And I was kind of at a point at work where some things had occurred and I wasn't really in a good position at work. I didn't really care to be there. I looked for reasons to not be there. Was just going down a dark alley that wasn't headed to anywhere good had I continued to go down that way. So that was a bit of an eye opener. And then fast forward that same year, I had some issues that arose that I decided to go get checked out and ended up becoming or being told that I had cancer. So that was on a, let's see, Thursday, I believe. And then, no, that was a Wednesday, I'm sorry, when I got diagnosed. And then I told my wife on Thursday. And then we met with the specialist on Friday morning, and I was in surgery Monday morning. So
wow, that's a pretty quick timeline.
Yep, they didn't want to wait around at all. They wanted to get after it pretty quickly. So, yeah, from just a couple aches and pains for a little while that I pushed off to the point of finally going in and getting myself checked to being on the operating table a couple days later. So then I recovered from that, and then I had to go through chemotherapy as part of my treatment, which was not enjoyable at all. That was worse than surgery itself. But once I recovered from that, you know, I was back to work, and I kind of had a much fresher outlook on things after, 'cause that year, that was 2019. Things were pretty tough that year. It was, we had a couple of things that hit us pretty hard. Those being the two biggest things was the crash and then the cancer.
So, yeah, I mean, you get through something like that, that's gotta build your faith immensely, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because after both incidents, I don't want to say I walked away completely unscathed, but I'm here to talk about it. I'm here with my family. I'm glad to talk about either situations with anybody that wants to hear about them. So it just, from there, my faith continued to grow. And then it's just one thing after another just kept leading. One thing led to another thing that made me have stronger faith, made me believe more, made me dig deeper, stuff like that. And it just continued into the archery world, because I had shot competitive archery for a while, just local tournaments and stuff. And then I got out of it because of life, just got busy and whatnot. But then my daughter wanted to start shooting, and I didn't really know where to start looking into youth archery and that kind of thing. And somewhere along the lines, I got pointed towards this guy named Aaron. Somebody had given me his email address, and so eventually, after being hounded a couple times by my daughter to send this email and get a hold of him, I finally did, and we talked a couple times over email and ended up connecting at a little archery range that CenterShot had set up that I didn't know about at the time. And almost instantaneously, we hit it off, and that's where you had mentioned early in the podcast, Aaron Shear with CenterShot Ministries and CenterShot Blue. That's where I met him, and we hit it off instantaneously and become great friends. And he got me back into shooting archery and competitive with it and stuff. And so, and he's also continued to build my faith and bless me with uncountable things already thus far, and I've only known the guy for a couple of years already. So just everything that he's brought into my life and done to make me a better person, make me a better husband and father to the kids, it's just everything is getting better by the day, it seems like. And it's all stuff that I couldn't have done on my own. It just proves that there's definitely a higher power that's got more control than we do.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think of just the impact that Aaron's had on my life. I just had a conversation with him today about some of our plans for next year. And you know, I don't know why, but God chooses to give favor to certain people. He's definitely given me favor in the archery space, and now we are making an impact over in the veteran and the first responder community through my love of archery. And the same thing is happening with Aaron, and it excites me to meet the Rick Youngs of the world and to hear stories like this, because that it's empowering for one, and it really opens my eyes to the potential of what the future holds for Center Shot Blue, HHA USA, and just the life change that it's going to have for that's going to be generational.
Absolutely. The whole Center Shot and Center Shot Blue thing has really given me a new outlook and a fresh breath of air as far as my career and what I got going on and stuff. It's very refreshing and rewarding bringing the archery side into it, and then just seeing my own faith grow and build, and I feel like I've become a better person because of it, and I'm hoping that I can continue down that path. And then just either sharing my story with other people, or listening to other stories, just any way that I can continue to help people. It's super enlightening to me, and can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, they say, and I've said this on here before, but I mean, you can't have a testimony without a test. And I mean, you were given two pretty substantial ones, getting sideswiped by a 18-wheeler and then having cancer, you know, a few months later. Those are two major, major obstacles that were thrown at you in life, and yet God got you through them, and now He's using you and those stories to reach other people.
Yeah, for sure. And those were just two obstacles that, you know, I was hit with within a year, and then COVID hit, and that was a obstacle on everybody's platter to overcome. And, you know, here we are talking about it today. So we've clearly gotten over that hurdle. So everybody has always got some sort of hurdle or struggle or stuff they're dealing with. And even just little stuff, when I've opened up and expanded my faith and my prayers, and I've seen things change and I've seen things happening, I've noticed things that I wouldn't have necessarily noticed before. And so it's definitely clear that things are changing for the good.
No, and that's awesome. I mean, I get encouragement from this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't serve in the same capacity that you do, but I have struggles just like everybody else does. And just going to these shoots, I get a lot from them just being in that community. And I've been humbled by the acceptance that I've received from the law enforcement, veteran, first responder community, because I'm not technically in that circle. It's not my line of work, but I think people see my heart and my love for that community and have welcomed me in. And I mean, you and I have become very good friends in a short amount of time. I think about Joe as well. And then I think about a guy like Chad Stillman that has become one of my best friends. And I'm excited about the trip that you guys are going to be taking here in a couple weeks.
I am so excited for this upcoming trip, with Chad and Joe and Aaron and a host of other guys. But to touch on you becoming friends with the guys in law enforcement, first responders and stuff, and that's a huge testament to your person as well, because typically people in the first responder field, law enforcement, what have you, we keep a pretty high, thick guard up, and we usually tend to surround ourselves with like people. So once if you have a group of these types of people that have been through some stuff, it's not uncommon for them to kind of turn away an outsider. But you've done a fantastic job in breaking down those barriers and getting archery into the first responder industry and taking it from there and kind of befriending a lot of people. And yeah, the little time that you and I have known each other, we've become good friends and had some good conversations. And leading up to the guys mentioned that are going on that trip, we actually leave next week for that. So I'm super excited about the conversations that are going to take place in the 18, 19 hours of windshield time that me, Chad, and Joe have together.
Yeah, so, I'm excited for it for you guys because, I mean, you're all good friends. You're all brothers in Christ of mine, and I'm excited. I know there's going to be a lot of positivity coming out of that trip before you ever hit the ground and go out and start chasing elk. So that's in God's hands. I'm praying for some success out there, but looking forward to hearing about the trip when you all get back. We are, spoiler alert, we are sending a cameraman in with you too. So this is going to be documented, and it's kind of going to solidify the center shot blue HHA USA partnership on film. And so thank you for being so open, one, being willing to share your story on here, but then to share it on film as well, because that's something that we're going to use, you know, in a national sense to really get the word out about what we're doing, but then also share it with all the folks that come to these special events that we're going to be doing going forward. So it's, I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't have written a better script. I mean, this whole thing has just come together over the course of the summer, and just having conversations with you and Joe and Aaron and Chad, and just seeing how God is working all this together to bring it to kind of its climax and see where it's going to go. It's exciting. It's beyond exciting.
I 100% agree. I can't tell somebody how honored and blessed I feel to be given these opportunities that continue to arise. Just starting out with meeting the guys I have been, going to the places that I've been in the last year and a half, and places I'm going, including next week. I mean, driving across country with a couple guys in a truck that I guess we probably won't have any fun at all, especially once we get to camp and join up with the rest of the crew. And then if there is a chance of any fun, it'll have to happen before the cameras get turned on, because we've got to keep a straight face for the cameras, right?
Well, that's what they make editing for. So you just be you, and we'll do that. We'll leave the bad stuff on the cutting room floor, but I don't think there's going to be much of that with you, with this crew.
It's going to be a great trip, and I can't wait for it. And if God willing, we come back with some meat in the freezer.
Yeah, well, you're going to have some great stories regardless, and the elk will be a bonus. So, but I'm going to be lifting you guys up in prayer as you hit the road and hit the mountains, and yeah, just I can't wait to get together with everybody once we're on the backside of the trip and hear all about it, and just see how God's going to use it to draw other people into this cause, and ultimately to help others that are struggling. I mean, that's really why we're all doing this.
Yep. I agree. I think he's going to do great things with it. Whatever comes of the video that is going to be put out there, you can have a couple guys on there with some stories to tell, and hopefully a good hunting trip to go with it. And you know, I see incredible things for Center Shot Blue, HHA USA. I'm so excited to be part of everything that's going on and watching where it goes.
Yeah, I am as well. It's I just cut a video this morning. It'll be out by the time the podcast drops here, but I just wanted to kind of do a brief update on our season. We had it on a podcast last week, but kind of a short minute and a half video of myself just dropping that on Instagram here in the next couple of days. But it's an exciting time of the year for me, because I mean, I think I'm doing a better job of kind of celebrating our wins, not in a boastful way, but just kind of basking in how great of a year that it was. I mean, I've met a lot of new friends, you and Joe included. These partnerships are coming together. The impact of HHA USA is growing, and that excites me. So it's one of those times of the year where I just like to kind of sit back, take a deep breath, and just relish all the blessings that God has put on us. At the same time, my wheels are always turning, so I'm looking forward to 2024, and it's like, okay, we're gonna get there, but just take some time to celebrate the win and get out in the woods and just kind of unwind a little bit myself.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need to do that for as hard as you're grinding. Wisconsin archery season's just a couple weeks away, so hopefully you have some time where you can step away and keep your mind going, but also unwind a little bit out in the tree stand and get some downtime to yourself.
I do. I'm strategically trying to, I took inventory of my venison here a couple months ago. I'm like, okay, I got this much sausage left. I got this many steaks left. So I've been trying to eat up all my old venison from last year so that I, I have an excuse, not that I need one, to get out and put a doe or two in the freezer early, but I've got a really nice buck on camera too, a 4.5-year-old out at my place that's showing up in daylight in front of my redneck blind right now. So hopefully he'll keep that pattern for the next couple of weeks, and I'll have a good story for you when you come back.
Yeah, for sure. Get a couple freezer queens out of the way early season before they get too spooky, and then focus on that nice one you got coming in.
Exactly. That's the plan. So, and I just, again, I say this on here often, I have not served our country, but there's something so therapeutic for me about getting out in the woods. That's my happy place. You know, I love getting out there in the fall when the leaves are turning, you get out there watching the sun go down at night. I mean, there's just something so, so majestic about that. And just seeing God's creation come to life that, I can't get that anywhere else.
I agree. That's one of my favorite things to do. Unfortunately, I don't get to do it as much as I would love to, just because I guess I got to work here and there, and you know, stuff like that gets in the way of it. But ideal world, if I could sit out every evening in the fall, I would, especially now that my kids are into it, and it takes things to a whole different level when you have your young kids out with you in the blind, and they get some shooting in and are putting meat in the freezer also. I'd almost assume watch them shoot the deer and just be part of it than actually take one myself, as much as I love it.
No, that's awesome that your kiddos are getting involved in it, and you know, you'll be able to share that camp that's been a long time part of your life with them, and then hopefully they can do the same thing with their kids. So
yeah, hopefully the tradition continues and keep moving forward.
You bet. Well, Rick, anything else you want to let our listeners know before you get off here and keep getting ready for that elk hunt?
No, not. I think we covered most of the stuff. You know, just if somebody's got something that they're going through, keep grinding, keep pushing through. Get, you know, reach out, talk to somebody, whatever needs to be done. But everybody's got a story, and just keep adding chapters to the story. But other than that, I'm just gonna get ready for the elk hunting trip and then go do that, hopefully. I haven't even thought about Wisconsin whitetail season. I'm too excited about this elk hunting trip. So
yeah, I don't blame you there. But well, when you get back, we don't live that far apart. I don't want to wait until January at ATA to see you. So I'm gonna find a day when you and Joe are able to grab lunch, and we're gonna do Mission Barbecue together here before the snow flies, if that sounds like a plan to you.
That works for me. I'm down with that anytime.
Lunch on me. So, all right, brother. Well, hey, thank you for coming on here. Thank you for sharing your story. I'm so thankful that we met this year, and looking forward to 2024 and beyond, and all the great stuff that's gonna happen with this partnership and this friendship of ours. So.
Anytime. I'm honored and very blessed to be here.
Well, have a safe and a blessed hunt, and don't have too much fun with Joe and Chad and Aaron and that crew. So
yeah, we'll see what happens. No promises made yet, just yet.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
You too.
As we wrap up this week, I wanted to say thank you all for listening to the HHA USA podcast. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. To stay up to date on all the latest news and events, follow HHA USA on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow host Chris Hamm on Instagram at ChrisHamm2517. That's Chris Hamm with two M's, 2517. If you'd like to support our cause, donations can be made through our website, www.hhausa.org. You can also purchase HHA USA branded hats, shirts, tumblers, and challenge coins at www.hhasports.com. Also, Thrivent members, you can use your Thrivent Choice dollars to support HHA USA as well. And last but not least, please don't forget to follow the HHA USA podcast on all your favorite podcast apps and tell your friends to do the same. I'm Logan Chartrand, and the HHA USA podcast is a WhizBang Media production.